There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Charlotte Flair wins again. LOL. He's coming back and he's strutting back in because we can't figure out how to work the graphics desk properly. So Sat, like a hero, just press record on the machine.
That's my little strut for there. Strutting into 2023 like this. Yeah. You're real. Look, you're real. This is a great moment for me. Guys, this man here is a legend. You know, everyone's on Instagram doing their post about 2022, I'm going to 2023. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to do it on this show. Thank you very much to Ollie Davis. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me. Thank you for letting me do the news. Thank you for letting me do the podcast. And thank you for doing the end of the year show with me. You've changed my life for the better.
Last one of the year.
Yes. You changed my life for the better. Do you know that?
Oh, thank you very much. It's always nice to meet a fan.
Yeah, listen, I am a fan. I'm initially a fan of the show. So that never changes. Even though I'm doing this now with you guys, you know, I'm with the big boys, sitting in the big seat. Potentially one day could be head of the table. Okay. Yeah?
Is this like some subliminal headbuggery? Like how Triple H bought Vince McMahon the dinosaur skull?
Why not? Why not? Or unless you want to swap. I wear your jumper, you wear the t-shirt because it makes the most sense. You are the head of the table and, you know, I'm just in the bloodline.
You're repping the head of the table for me. It's the SmackDown review, everybody. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined, of course, by Sati Nyangi. Please, if you haven't already, press the subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode and whether or not you think Charlotte Flair returning and immediately winning the championship is a good idea. Before we get into that, Should we talk about how good Raquel Rodriguez was in this match with Ronda Rousey?
I would say most improved wrestler of the year. She is underrated. No, because think about it. Where she started off, if you watch NXT, did you watch NXT when it was good?
Black and Gold NXT.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Raquel wrestling?
Yeah.
How atrocious was she as a wrestler?
It wasn't great.
Exactly. So to go from there to think of someone that's going to be like Nia Jax's level of great in a ring or bad, depending on how you feel, she's improved leaps and bounds. I'm always excited to see Ronda and Raquel in a ring together. It's not the first time together. They wrestled back in the summer, which was a good match. I feel like Ronda Rousey's good with wrestling with bigger women because she had a good match with Nia Jax.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Lo
and behold, yeah. So for me, the fact that she had two left feet in the beginning and now she can do moves adequately and she does that Vader, you know, Vader bomb in the corner and she twists, that takes a lot of, you know, talent and skills
to do
that. And
imagine that back coming down on you.
She loves to show her back.
A slap. It's like having a pizza stone fall on you. They're heavy. What was I going to say? In terms of most improved.
Right.
I see where you're coming from. I feel like last year there were a bunch of most improved candidates. But this year I was trying to think who else could rival Rodriguez.
Jade Cargill.
I think so. If anything, she's stalled. She's stagnated this year. I'd probably say Logan Paul.
Logan Paul. I feel like Logan Paul was good from the beginning.
He was good from the beginning.
Yeah.
But from that tag Miz match
yeah.
to main eventing against Roman Reigns, He was good and he went freaking amazing.
But I wasn't shocked that he did that. Does that make sense? Okay. When they said Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns, I'm like, it's Roman Reigns. He knows how to wrestle the WWE main event style, which is quite safe. And it's Logan Paul gets to fly around. It's like a formula. It's kind of like, Roman, pretend you're wrestling AJ Styles. Bet.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And Raquel, two left feet. You're like, she would never make out a developmental or might get fired in one of those mass firings.
Yeah, well, it's not just the in-ring ability. I'm quite surprised at how they're making me like her as a character. Because a lot of this match, a lot of the build has given her that underdog, injured arm comeback story. And that's good for someone who's physically imposing, who can just railroad through people. I believed her versus Ronda as a match.
I thought I was going to hate it because the last time they had a match...
I was set up to be bored for 5 minutes.
Last time they had a match together, I think Ronda was the faux babyface, right? And I feel like when Ronda has to play babyface to a heel, I feel like a heel giant strength is dominating the match.
Yeah.
But Ronda had to dominate the match. So you're a bit like, I'm not sure how that's going to go. But it went well, yeah. Good selling in the match and good set of moves between both women. They had chemistry together. I would put her on that list. Yeah, people don't like her for some reasons. If you go on Twitter or wherever, you know what reasons they are. But I'm purely judging her on a wrestling front. I feel like she's underrated in terms of when you list names, you say Logan Paul. But I'm like, Logan Paul came out of the gate swinging, doing
so
well.
Annoying. Yeah.
So you can't go... For me, it's like, he's improved. I mean, he didn't mess up. So that's an improvement. He didn't mess up last time. But also, he still continued... looking adequate in a ring against Roman Reigns.
He didn't cause an apocalypse.
He didn't, yes.
In one of his matches. Yeah.
No. But I feel like Raquel is underrated in that department. Mm. She's improved really well. And she's someone I do actually look forward to seeing wrestle.
Well, you're going to love what happened at the end of this match. Because,
what happened?
Well, Raquel, after having her arm worked over the entire time, nearly had Ronda beat. I actually thought at some periods in this match, oh my God, it is the end of the year. Would they just do something crazy like put the belt on Raquel? Like she gets a shock win and then like Ronda can win it back first couple of weeks of January.
Why not?
And so Raquel keeps on managing to get out of these arm bars. Ronda's working over the arm, but Raquel's strong. She fights back. Good back and forth stuff. Shayna interferes and then they find themselves on the top or second turnbuckle. Ronda's got an arm bar locked in. It's so painful.
She's been DQ'd.
Yeah, good point. They fall backwards, and that pain makes Raquel tap.
Instantly.
I thought that was a really good finish and protecting of Raquel. I was like, there was enough in the tank there to redo this match at the Rumble, surely.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Well, that's not really how our music goes.
We've got a new song now. You didn't notice you got a new song.
I was too busy groaning. I couldn't hear.
Really? You're like, and I'm like, I was like, because when it started, I was like, that sounds like Ric Flair's theme. I'm like, where's this song going? Because it's not an old theme. And then it went very like, I'm in the club. It went and then I popped. You know what it was? It's a sign of monotony dying. No longer are we stuck in the era of Ronda Rousey. Even when she cut the promo, it was kind of like, she was like, so now you're going to challenge for the title. She didn't even let the music finish. She didn't even let the music die. Let the music die. She didn't let the music die. Now you want to challenge for the title. Yeah? You want to wrestle now, huh? And I was like, oh no. She's going to challenge her. You just had a match. She Liv Morgan'd herself.
But this is the thing. I wrote in my review, I've seen this movie. Ronda is the heel. She's just had the fifth, and it was a 15 plus minute match that was hard fought. Ronda plays up, that's good. We're going to do this. Actually, no. These people don't deserve that match.
Bingo.
You need to work your way back up. Maybe next year, but right now I'm going to close the year as champion.
Smart.
Yeah, that's
smart.
What you do.
Mm-hmm.
But not just from like a smart wrestling character perspective, also from just basic psychology.
Smart.
Because Charlotte is the baby face here. I don't think she is.
I don't think she is either.
That's how she was presented. WWE thinks she's a baby face. They think, she's come back. She's been out for a while. The crowd will have missed her. She's going to be a face.
Remember
when Seth Rollins came back after his injury?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, he's got to come back as a face.
Yeah.
People love that guy.
Yeah.
He came back and he was like half and half.
He was a heel.
Triple H, when he came back after his injury, comes back as a... Maybe they thought the same thing for Charlotte. The problem there is Charlotte no disrespect to her, is a naturally unlikable on-screen presence, which lends itself way more to being a heel.
Yeah. And Charlotte is a babyface. She doesn't have that... She doesn't have a reason to cheer for her when she's a babyface because she loses her charisma. Her heel charisma is gone, which makes sense. You don't want to be a jerk. But it's kind of like, I'm happy to be here. It's kind of like, it goes against what you are. You're the opportunity. You don't shake hands with children. You look down on people. I think that's what people hate, is like the phoniness of a face turn. It's kind of like, that's not what you are when you're heel. Why would you betray who you are when you're face? And that's why I like Austin and Rock. It's like, the shades, even Kurt Angle, the shades, you lean into it. So it's kind of like, what's likable about Charlotte? She wins. That's the likable trait.
Well, I think, yeah, with those people you just mentioned, they're always fundamentally the same character.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they go between taking the noble route and the easy route.
Mm.
It does feel like, oh no, you've just changed.
Because she doesn't
who
have.
You are.
Because she's not like an entertaining heel. She's straight up a heel you don't like. So
she's also the queen. I think that is a good character.
Her character is, I have too much privilege. So it's quite hard to cheer for that. That's always been the thing. It's always been like, you win all the time because your dad is this, this, and that. Even though she's talented on her own merit, if you disregard who her dad is, you'd still think, you know, she's a good wrestler.
Definitely.
It's just that as a babyface, she tends to go for the generic babyface route, which gets her booed because there's more interesting heels or faces that she wrestles against. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm hoping that it's like a whole, I have to put a bow on this feud. Kind of like when Cody comes back, he has to feud with Seth again. Yeah. Now she's going to move on and be a heel. Now maybe Raquel will come out. Raquel will be like, you know, welcome back, blah, blah, blah. But I want a title shot. And then,
what's going
to
happen.
You have to put a bow in it. Or they can do a Royal Rumble thing. He comes, I eliminate Seth, and that's the end of it. But Seth's going to attack him again. It's going to be a never-ending loop. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about Charlotte. Charlotte as a babyface is bland. So I'm hoping she's not a babyface. It's just that it's a heel versus a heel thing. She had to put a bow in this 2022 New Year's resolution. Damn.
So you think next week or over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, she'll turn on the fans.
Her actual heel persona will come out.
Promo. I want to thank myself. There you go. Course correction.
I don't know.
LA Knight did it. LA Knight, you know, Max Dupree, LA Knight, then you turn heel quite quickly.
I've just been here so many times before. And let's actually just run through what happened.
All right.
Flair comes out, as we said. Raquel Rodriguez goes so quickly. She does, you know, she's not in the ring. She comes in, Flair that is, has the promo with Ronda. Ronda thinks it's SummerSlam coming up. She said, what are you going to do? Challenge me at SummerSlam?
Oh, that's too far ahead. Then she recovered.
She did recover.
Barely, but she recovered. Because I think Shayna goes, Royal Rumble's next, actually. And so, that's too far. But I say it lends her character that she's so flippant. She doesn't care what pay-per-view it is. She should lean more into that. Hmm. What show is this? What time are we in? That would be more entertaining because that is probably how Ronda feels. It's like,
oh yeah, but like pretend like your character being that you hate wrestling and don't care about it worked out for Brock Lesnar and that Roman Reigns feud.
It seems like it, but for her it's more like she's hurt that fans boo her, but it's kind of like it works in your character. Mm. Ronda has a chip on her shoulder naturally, so bless her, she takes everything seriously. But I love Ronda. Like all the things I'm going to say is Ronda's first year in wrestling, one of the best.
Oh, amazing.
Her return is everything we dreaded her first run was going to be, which is like a character that's kind of lethargic, doesn't really care, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of comes across sometimes, unfortunately. She's not a natural face. Charlotte's not a natural face. What are we doing?
Well, neither are natural faces. But if you just look at this from a booking perspective, Ronda is the face. Because Ronda, after having this 15-minute match, Charlotte made the challenge and then Ronda accepted against Shayna Baszler's advice. Shayna was like, no, do not do this. Ronda lays the title down and they have a under 1 minute match. I think it was big boot from Charlotte.
Yes.
Charlotte, by the way, didn't she big boot Ronda in an almost blindsided way?
Love it. She's been in the ring in a while. That excitement. She didn't even hold back. You saw that boot go.
Yeah. And then I think Charlotte hit a spear. Ronda caught that in an armbar. And then Charlotte rolled that up into a, not fluky, but it's a wrestling pin rather than I beat you definitively.
I swear I saw a little lift of
I've watched it. I thought apparel. That too. I've watched it back. There was no time.
Really?
Grab.
She was going somewhere.
It was a flat hand.
Okay.
But it's, and then Charlotte gets out. she gets the belt after not even winning with her finisher in a 1 minute match against someone who was tired and already wrestled a 15 minute thing, and runs around the arena like she is the second coming of NXT Bo Dallas.
Why not?
Like she has won it genuinely.
Yeah.
She is slapping hands with kids. She goes into the crowd and she hugs a kid.
Yeah.
I watched this back. Yeah. She keeps on saying, I'm home.
Yes.
I'm home.
Yes.
And you can see, but it's not like a natural, yes, it's not like Belair crying tears of joy or Becky, like, where's my, you know, mama, come over here. It's Charlotte going, right, okay, so they've told me to be a baby face. Okay, I need to go into this part of the crowd. I'm happy. Yeah, celebrate with me, fans. I'm home. And then she walks on a bit further, does the same thing. It's all for the video clips and replays. And then she goes onto the ramp. All the same pose, all the same catchphrase.
Why not?
I'm home. There was nothing genuine about this.
Yeah, she's a heel. Also, my question is, was the celebration longer than the actual match?
Oh, it probably was.
Yeah.
So you think this is going to be a heel reveal?
Why not?
I think this is going to be babyface, awkward babyface Charlotte well past Mania.
No, I think she's turning heel for many reasons. Number one is Triple H now in charge. Let's see. Because the issue was, we used to say Vince is not self-aware. In his mind, she's a babyface. She's Charlotte Flair.
She's blonde. She's got a smile.
She's got a pedigree, you know. But with Triple H, we always assume that he's self-aware to know that she's better as a heel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a part of me is worried about where this is going. Because we heard rumors it's going to be Charlotte versus Bianca Belair. So she's holding one belt.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, Bianca Belair is holding another belt. Are we going to see title versus title at WrestleMania?
Potentially. The other report is, and this just came out the last day, hasn't it? Is that it's going to be Becky versus Rhea Ripley.
Is Ronda.
Ronda versus Rhea Ripley.
I know, because initially it was. If it was last week, I'd be like, yeah. But this week, they're switching. They're like, well, Rhea's really over. Who do we put her with? We go with Becky. They did that stare-off thing already. Uh-huh. And then they're like, well, Ronda needs someone because, you know, she's kind of cooled off. But she needs a marquee match. Rhea's popular. Yeah, Rhea's popular. Everyone wants to work with Rhea Ripley. That's what I feel like nowadays.
She's great.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I cannot find anything in me to care about a Charlotte babyface title run. Did you watch the video me and Luke did about predicting every WWE wrestler's 2023?
Yes.
So in that, and that was recorded weeks ago, the Charlotte Flair return was also a surprise.
Yeah.
It wasn't reported like in weeks before. It wasn't leaked by Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter on the night. She's been available to return for ages, but there's been various things, Andrade and AEW, that she's just not been around. So nobody knew she was coming back. 3 weeks ago, when me and Luke recorded this video, both of us came to Charlotte Flair, and I said, wins title immediately, and he said, beats Ronda Rousey. That's how, and we said that as a joke. Certainly the wins title immediately, and even in my most extreme version of that joke, I didn't think within a minute on her first night back.
You think she's money in the bank holder, how it, yes. it all played out.
Yeah.
And you think Ronda would learn a lesson from Liv Morgan. Don't put your title on the line as soon as you've won the last match. They're making Ronda look like a dummy, which is not good. Mm-hmm. Shayna was a smart one. She's like, don't, first of all, it's not SummerSlam. Second of all, don't do it. And she...
Oh no, Ronda doesn't even know what day it is.
No, her hubris got her. I think it's meant to be part of the story. Her hubris got her. She might go on a babyface journey to redeem herself.
Oh, God.
I mean... I don't know what to do with her. Like, you don't know what to do with her. You said, go with her as a heel. Now let's see what she's like, not holding the title, carrying the show. The burden of carrying the show was too much for her. Now she doesn't have to carry the show anymore. Charlotte's back. Now let's see what heel bully Ronda's going to do in the upper mid card.
Okay. Well, let us know your thoughts on Charlotte Flair being the SmackDown Women's Champion.
In the comments.
Down below.
Thank you. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So this the actual episode started off with, that was the only questionable thing as well on the entire episode.
I thought
this was a knockout show. Even the Raquel Rodriguez match, which was the vast bulk of that segment, was only Charlotte 5 minutes at the end of Charlotte coming back. Why, was there anything you didn't dig?
Oh no, I dig everything. Yeah. That, especially the Uncle Howdy. I've been loving LA Knight throughout this. When we get to it, we'll talk more about it. Yeah, let's talk about the show. Start off with a where did the show start off with? Did it start with the promo?
With Uncle Howdy.
I don't know. I was thinking Solo Sikoa and Sheamus for some weird reason. Even though that was the first official match. Yes.
So Bray Wyatt comes down. He apologizes for attacking that cameraman last week. And then LA Knight very quickly interrupts him, comes down. They go back and forth. And they agree to have a match at the Royal Rumble. And I was like, okay, well, it's a bit of a lame development. I kind of could see what this was going to eventually end up in a match. And it means we've got another month of this. And while I've really enjoyed the LA Knight Wyatt interactions. I'm surprised I still am, considering how many they've done.
I am too.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. I was trying to explain to people, had they had a match, it would have been 3 matches by now. All lost. LA Knight would have lost all of them. Either Bray would have got disqualified for the first one. His rage went too far.
Gave into the impulses.
Exactly. Second one, LA Knight might get surprised. You never know. Might get surprised when Uncle Howdy makes his debut or something like that. Then he rolls him up or whatever.
Yeah, you could actually do it with LA Knight wins two, loses the last one.
Yeah, and then they have a lights out match. Then how would you felt about the feud? Because I feel like the storyline's carrying it. The match, you would have been like, they've wrestled twice already. I don't want to see it again.
But I think there's a healthy middle ground.
I agree with you.
Because when they said that, I was like, oh, I'm enjoying this, but another 4 weeks until the match at the Rumble of this? But then they actually had a proper development, and that was Uncle Howdy came out.
But which one, though? He looks different. Did you not think? So basically, the last Uncle Howdy could have been anyone. This one, I'm convinced, Bo Dallas.
Why?
Height-wise, weight-wise. Yeah. He doesn't look... No offense to Uncle Howdy. You don't look intimidating up close and personal. He was in the ring. You had Bray. You had LA Knight, who's jacked to the gills. And you got Bray's imposing figure. And you're this middle guy in the middle with his jacket like this.
With a Bo Selector mask.
Hello. Yes, hello. I'm going to take off my hat. Get in the ring. And I'm going to do the least convincing Sister Abigail I've ever seen. But yeah.
Yeah, it didn't have... It had a bit of snap to it, but it felt like they were falling over.
That move, I don't know how that move can catch you by surprise. In real life, you'd be, what are you get your hands off my shoulders. You know, that move's not, it's quite a punch to the face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're quite stung. Then you do the move. It's quite, I feel like that move is quite hard to get to. Even when Alexa Bliss did it to Bianca Belair, I was kind of like, Bianca, why are you just leaning backwards? Just smack her one in the face.
Dip me.
Yeah.
Like in a dance.
It's like a tango. It's like a tango. You're just laying there. You're like,
I suppose you are overwhelmed with the fear.
Oh, yeah. The music was menacing. Mm. You know, he came out imposing in his 5'11".
I do think there's a kayfabe reason for that, because Bray is obviously intimidated and scared by Uncle Howdy. So he might have been like, Anyway, Uncle Howdy gets in the ring. Everything is in the, you know, darkened crowd, dark blue spotlight. So it's very difficult to make out any, you know, what is it? Bo Dallas has that earring that he wore in one of the Uncle Howdy promos.
I have a feeling that they think the mask might look stupid in the daylight.
Yeah, 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 potentially. And it looked like Uncle Howdy was going to do something to LA Knight, but then stood next to Bray Wyatt, and that's when he hit the Sister Abigail. Meanwhile, LA Knight, I really appreciate this, was out the ring just going, what? He wasn't scared. He wasn't scared. And he's never been scared in this. He's just like, what's going on here?
You're like me.
Yeah.
You like it for the same reason that I do. LA Knight is like the dumb jock in a horror film who doesn't know he's in danger.
That's a really good comparison.
He's like, I'm going to go in this room. No, don't go in this room. I'm going to do whatever it takes, blah, blah, blah. Because he's over his head, but he doesn't know it.
Yeah,
and you admire his courage because he doesn't know the gravity of it. And he's like us. He says things that we think, this is stupid. What is going on? Uh-huh. And he doesn't linger. Nope. He left the ring.
Yeah.
He's been a smart heel, which makes me kind of like him to be like a face, because you're not meant to like, it's weird because this feud is weird because LA Knight is a new character. People hate it. Oh, he's a new character. He's not established yet. But at the same time, if you like LA Knight, who would you want him to feud with? Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt. He's one of like the big stars of the company. So LA Knight feuding with a big star kind of might come off like a big star.
The rub.
He's giving him the rub.
I really like that idea that he's the dumb jock because you always get that moment in those movies where then the jock realizes a little too late how serious it is. So I guess maybe it's in the Pitch Black match, which was announced, or maybe it's the go-home show for Royal Rumble, when that moment when LA Knight goes, oh, crap. That's going to be very funny cool.
It will be fun, but I'm also worried because Seth Rollins cowering in the corner with the Fiend, that's like a lasting image of you don't want in a feud.
That's a babyface killer.
That's why I've liked the feud, because it's different. It's not like, oh, I'm scared of Bray. Oh, I need security. Oh, Maximum Male Models, be my friends again. It's been a guy who's way off his head, but he doesn't care. He's like, I'm going to call you out. Mm. It wasn't me. It was Brother Howdy. Like, he's mocking him. He's testing his limits. And I love that in the character. I'm respecting it. It's almost like Bret Hart Austin things. I'm like, this guy's tough. This guy's stepping up to the big man.
I'm so, if you told me a couple of months ago, Bray Wyatt's going to come back. He's going to have this vast overarching mythology to his new character. Mm. There's going to be another version of him who's actually another version and not just Bray in dress up. And you're going to like LA Knight the most. I've been like, what? I know 2022's been weird, but surely not LA Knight. Who I do, you know, I love. I can't remember his name now back in TNA.
Eli Drake.
Yeah, I those promos, I was like, he is the closest promo to The Rock.
And Austin put together.
Yeah. Well, he wears the sort of studded jacket, doesn't he? It's very transparent.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of his. When the bell rings, he is just fine, I think. But as a promo, he's fantastic. So I am so into LA Knight. More than I am than Wyatt and Howdy.
I feel like LA Knight's the reason why I've enjoyed his storyline so far, because he's the one getting attacked. Again, it was like the horror thing. Don't go through that dart. And he got dumped on him. The next week he's like, whoever did that, I want to take you out. Yeah, I'm loving LA Knight in this. Bray Wyatt is doing his bit in it, of course. It takes two to tango. But now, Pitch Black match, what is that?
Yeah, so, well, I think what you said about Uncle Howdy, he's got a stupid face and it might look more stupid, more light on it. So they're probably just going to have the dark blue spotlight match, which is very similar to the dark red Fiend matches.
I'm usually, on his reviews, I'm known as being the positive one. I'm the one who does the wait and see. Mm. So I'm going to wait and see. I just hope the Pitch Black was just someone liked a Vin Diesel movie. But I didn't think, I wasn't hoping that someone was actually going to make it Pitch Black.
You think like cinematic universe?
I hope so.
Cinematic match.
Yeah.
But Eli Drake wakes up. He's on an alien planet.
Why not? That's what I was hoping.
But when the night comes, Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt comes
Bingo.
Out.
Bingo!
Eli Drake needs to replace his eyeballs with cybernetic eyeballs that can see in the dark.
You see, wow, well, see. You get the vision. Yeah, I hope it's not. I don't want it because what happened to Pitch Black? I don't want the crowd to boo it. It's in San Antonio. So there's going to be a lot of whoo because it's going up.
Yeah. The next match can be the Chronicles of LA Knight.
It could be the Chronicles of Uncle Howdy, maybe.
I really like Pitch. What do you think of Pitch Black as a movie? Because that was like, I watched it back. It's not very good. But when I watched it as a teenager, I was like, this is one of the most amazing horror space films of all time.
See, you captured teenage me. I feel like you're mirroring everything that I think in my head when I was younger. Yeah, I loved the film when I was younger. And I feel like, oh, Vin Diesel's got potential in this Hollywood space and stuff. But then when you rewatch it with adult eyes, you're like, ooh, I can see the flaws. The flaws. Everywhere is flaws.
I was so excited when Chronicles of Riddick came out. I was like, yes!
I remember it being long.
Oh, it's long, it's mediocre, and it crumbles under its own
mythology.
But yes, Pitch Black. So yeah, do you think cinematic either just low dark, or do you think they actually had blindfolds on?
I assume they're going to wrestle in a ring in the dark with some little mini spotlight around the ring to cover the spooky stuff that's going to happen, because obviously they want spooky stuff to happen, but you're not meant to see the setup. So you have to wrestle in the dark. So, yeah, I assume.
And maybe some creatures or something will come out of the darkness.
And Alexa Bliss comes out or whatever.
When do you think this whole Wyatt Six faction trigger gets pulled? Because they are building it.
Either by WrestleMania or SummerSlam.
I mean, that's great. We love long-term stories.
Mm.
But there is, sometimes they do go on too long.
Is either that or he's jobbing to Goldberg. So you know what I'm saying? I remember where we were. That's why I'm thankful for anything we get now. That's why I'm in that thankful mode. I'm like, I hated WWE so much to the point where I was like, I've been watching it for 30 years since the age of two. I was going to quit it until Vince, reportedly whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for anything we get. Thus far in the Triple H era of WWE, it's been polite. Nothing really to take to the next level, because I feel like he's in world building mode, and 2023 is when we finally see the hand of what he's trying to do, the sign Dragon Lee. So obviously you're starting to see the vision of what he's trying to do, but it's also the whole, is Vince going to come back? So it's kind of weird. If Vince doesn't come back, then Triple H can relax and do what he needs to do. But we're still in that mode of like, I still remember where we were. Fiend lost like in a few minutes against Goldberg. So I'd rather he takes his time.
2019.
Robbie takes his time and does things perfectly, because it's not the journey, it's the destination. Mm-hmm. So in the end, if it's crap in the end, then we can crap on it.
He's got the goodwill at the moment. After that segment, which was really good overall, I am intrigued of Uncle Howdy. We get Sami Zayn backstage. He's trying to get into the Bloodlines locker room, but Paul Heyman comes out and he's like, oh, just, before you go in there, Roman was so impressed with your commitment to us last week. Like, you really felt that passion. But it's not right how the crowd keeps chanting for Honoré Use and Sami. And Sami, like, is like, why is it? Has he said something? And Paul said, no, doesn't need to say anything. This whole storyline is so well done from what the characters would actually say. Like, when Sami said, oh, has he said something? That's such a wonderful, detailed response.
Mm-hmm.
It's masterful.
Question, because me and Tempest have talked about this. Do you think when Roman said to Jay, I saw what I needed to see, that's when he knew?
Back at Survivor Series.
Yes, because we talked about how Solo Sikoa has been iffy with Sami. I don't know if you noticed. They're all happy family, and then Solo's like in the corner.
He's always like that.
No, he wasn't. He was his friend. He goes, I want Sami to take me to the ring. That was his best friend in the group. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't want to be near him. So I came up with a theory that Roman saw what he needed to see. And then when he turned on Kevin Owens, think about this. Kevin Owens meant to be his family. If he turns on his own family, what would he do with me? He's with me because I'm champion. He's with me because I got a nice locker room. All the things that Sami says, nice locker room. He goes, yeah, whatever. He watches the words that come out of his mouth. Yeah. So when he said to Jay, I saw what I needed to see, including Jay, on the fact we're going to get him when the time is right. Including Solo, we can't trust him. Because he lied. Even they told the truth. Mm-hmm. He's like, you only told the truth because I'm Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You're clout chasing. Would you let a clout chaser in your group? Would you be there for me if I wasn't champion? Would you be there for me if I wasn't really doing well? Do you know what I mean? In his mind, this guy's using the bloodline to elevate his stock. But he's like, I'm using you. So he's like, we're going to be using him.
Using
my WWE.
Using Sammy to get rid of Owens.
Owens, then he's outlives usefulness. You can't trust someone that lies to your family. He lied to his blood. Mm. That's his bloodline. See, it's not the line, it's bloodline. If you lie to my bloodline, you're lying to me. If you lie to Jay, you're lying to me. You ain't told me the truth, but you had to.
Well, shall we also cover the other backstage
segment? Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Came a bit later where Sammy and Roman are in the room together. Yeah. You've got the Usos and Heyman and Sokoa, like you said, behind them on the sofa. And they're talking back and forth. And it is tense. Jay looks a bit like both Usos look a bit sort of on edge. So does Sokoa. It's not until Sammy leans around afterwards and does the whole handshake and they both smile. But yeah, Sammy asks Roman if he's bothered about getting these cheers, and Roman takes a deliberate pause. No, of course not. Yes. So something is definitely bubbling.
He is bothered. I think that he told Paul Heyman it bothers him. So Paul's trying to warn him. Because Roman Reigns is a sociopath. He's a sociopath. If he doesn't get adulation, come on, acknowledge me. That's not a cool catchphrase. That's a guy who constantly needs to know that you find him amazing. Mm. So if you're telling him, Sammy, that's not acknowledging him. You're acknowledging Sammy. Mm. Don't acknowledge Sammy. Acknowledge him.
That's the promo afterwards, isn't it?
Yeah.
You acknowledge me.
Yeah. Don't acknowledge him. Who is he?
Yeah.
Honore Us. He made him.
How would you play that with the Usos and Sokoa? Of course they have to follow Roman, but are they doing this reluctantly?
Because
they do love Sammy.
Jimmy loves Sammy. Mm. Jay doesn't like Sammy. And
even after Survivor Series?
Because I think Roman clued him in, we're going to get him. So he has to play along with it.
Oh, you're destroying that moment for me.
This is Goodfellas. Yeah, he's Joe Pesci. Yeah. He's going to get Joe Pesci'd. Made man. I think it's going to happen. I think after Royal Rumble, they're going to make him Uso. Yeah, yeah. And that's when they jump him. He's going to get made Uso, right? He's going to get casinoed. He's going to get...
I appreciate you explaining these things to me in terms of movies. It does. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's Goodfellas.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah. It's the movie with the jock.
Yes. Exactly.
It's Pitch Black.
It is. Yes. That's my language.
But very good segment, both of them backstage. Sheamus took on Solo Sokoa as the first match. Of course, they fought already and Sokoa won that one. This was a good match. It went through an ad break. The stuff after the ad break was really good. Sheamus hit one of those brogue knees, not the full-on brogue kick, to sort of protect the brogue kick.
People call it the V-trigger.
Yeah.
The knee trigger.
Knee trigger. But Sokoa kicked out of that. That got a huge pop. Usos interfered. I think it was a Texas Cloverleaf from Sheamus and they helped Solo escape. That starts a big brawl outside. Sheamus took them all out when he came back in. Samoa and Spike. Solo wins.
One clean.
Mm. No. Well,
as clean as a heel can. It was, but he still got him. Solo's been built like a monster.
Really well. Really good booking. Best NXT call-up in years.
Is it NXT 2.0 call-up, technically, if you think about it? Yeah.
I mean, when was the last call-up this good? It hasn't put a foot wrong yet.
I was about to say Damian Priest, but then they gave him that bipolar character, which kind of led to his downward spiral to becoming a heel.
Bad Bunny's best mate.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Kevin had a foot goal. So Solo.
Seven years ago.
I, you know what? I'm just going to stick with Solo being good because nothing's gone wrong so far. But yeah, I, it's quite hard.
It's almost like it's beneficial having the guy in charge of the main roster respect where these guys are coming from and the work they did in developmental.
I know people are saying that, but I like to argue that, again, I used to follow developmental as a kid. So there's a guy called Leviathan. He debuted as Deacon Batista. So I didn't cry, oh, Leviathan's Deacon Batista. I'm like, that's developmental. And a lot of people watched it. People's argument is it was on the network. It's on, you know, network television and so forth. So I understand why people argue it. But I'm like, that's the history of developmental. Mm-hmm. You get repackaged to fit the mold of what the company wants. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Yes, they respect it.
Really good stuff from Sokoa. big Triple H success story, I think.
Or is it Michael Hickenbottom's success story? He's a Shawn Michaels guy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Good point. In this match as well, we got a really nice gesture from WWE through Michael Cole where they wished Don West well.
Yeah.
That I didn't know it passed. That was the first I heard of it when Michael Cole said it. And TNA was my thing in 2005 to 2010. So Don West was a huge part of that. I was like, well, first of all, that, awful news.
Mm.
But this. Also, WWE, that's not something they do.
Exactly.
So it is a very, it's another step of making them seem like the classy promotion they should be.
Yeah, and also acknowledging there's other wrestling companies besides WWE, because the longest time you're told, nothing exists outside the world of sports entertainment. What is this wrestling thing you talk of? But yeah.
Later on in the show, they said that we're going to get, Drew McIntyre came out afterwards. Made his return, saved Sheamus from a sort of pilmanized Rikishi neck bump spot in the corner.
Royal Rumble. It's kind of a shame because it seemed during War Games it was going to be Sheamus and Roman because it was teased weeks before War Games that it was them two doing the face-off, and then it went to Kevin Owens, which I don't mind pivoting because I like storyline progression and continuation of feuds. But yeah, Sheamus seemed like he was primed for the main spot, but now it looks like him and Drew are going to fight the Usos at the Rumble, potentially, maybe.
Wasn't it announced for next week?
I know, but I think there's going to be like, shenanigans.
Yeah. Well, really good stuff anyway. Then we had the Ronda Rousey Rodriguez match with Charlotte Flair, of course, winning. Clip of Dom and Rhea Ripley at Ray's house over Christmas. We've seen this already, haven't we?
First of Thanksgiving, then it was Christmas, then it's going to be New Year's. Probably a New Year's party that Rey Mysterio's happening.
Arrested every time.
All the luchadors are there and he's going to get, maybe wearing a mask as well, and then he gets arrested again. Is this leading to WrestleMania?
Yeah, surely. Dom versus Rey at WrestleMania.
He had enough.
Yeah.
He's going to snap.
And I think Dom should win.
Yes. But I also think that he should do something to Aaliyah that makes Rey, because it has to be something, either disrespect his mom or his sister.
Yeah.
Then he's like,
"Yeah,
you're on timeout."
Well, maybe they can both be in the Royal Rumble. That would be a moment when both guys are in there through the structure of how the calendar's organized, as opposed to Rey on purposely avoiding them all the time.
Well, I felt like they're following the same route of the Undertaker and Kane feud of I don't want to fight my brother sort of thing. He's like, I don't want to fight my son until he does something that's so despicable, which is to lock him in a casket and set him on fire.
I really liked the next segment. It was backstage and it was various wrestlers joking about Top Dollar's botched dive from last week. Like the New Day put a very low
broom
thing and said, "Hey, try jump over that." And initially Top Dollar's like, "Ha ha, yeah, I know, I nearly killed myself." And more people keep making jokes. Maximum Male Models are there.
Right.
Was it Riddick Moss as well? Chronicles of Riddick Moss.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Top Dollar getting more and more like, "Okay, I'm getting a bit pissed off with these jokes now. Stop needling me, guys." And then Ricochet comes in and probably says the least offensive of the jokes and just says, "Hey, you see, it's not as easy as I make it look." And that Top Dollar just snapped and he pushed him. Nice little break apart thing. And they're going to have a match.
Wrong place. That was wrong place, wrong time for Ricochet. Had Ricochet started it off, it would have been fine. Yeah. I think it was like, jobbers never won a match. You're always backstage eating catering. You know what I'm saying? It's first was the mates.
New Day.
New Day. Yeah, it's New Day. Mm. He respects them. But you have people he doesn't really respect making fun of him. And then probably someone he does respect, maybe he was like, "I want to fly like Ricochet. Ricochet is cool. I can, like peers, I want to do what you do sort of thing." And then you come, it's kind of like you saying to me, "You're crapper than you, aren't you?" I'm like, "Ollie, what I mean? You're good at the news. And if you told me I was crapper than you, then I'll be like, I was
very good at the news. Does that help?
No, that wasn't to push it. Like he said that. Clip it. He said it. But I wasn't pushing for that. I went to explain ego, how pride, how it can get hurt, and someone like Ricochet, who's a high flyer, who's respected, to dunk on you, that's too far, man.
I saw it more as when groups of men usually rib each other and just keep doing the same joke on one person, and then eventually that person snaps. I saw it more as that.
And also, I'm hoping this is the beginning of a heel turn for Hit Row, because they need it.
They haven't done much, have they?
No, they haven't.
But the match next week will be a Royal Rumble qualifying match.
What happened to declaring I'm in a Royal Rumble? Do you remember I declare it?
I hope we get everything. I hope we get positional order matches.
Number 30.
Yeah, I love that. Then we got Imperium come out and they hyped up Gunther, played a video package of all the people he's beaten for the Intercontinental Champion. Braun came out, said, well, you haven't beaten me. And then they had a little fight. Choo-choo train round the ring. Gunther moves out the way, throws Braun through the barricade, and then Imperium start beating up Braun. Loads of referees come out and try and break it up. I thought it was quite effective, but Ricochet came down with a chair for the save.
Ricochet is now Braun's little buddy now.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives him something to do. I can't really complain. At least Ricochet is not going to be lost in the main event for like the next few weeks or whatever. But it's weird because we know what Braun feels about people that do flips. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of weird seeing that his character and then Ricochet, you know, wherever. But Tempest and Pete have been scared about Braun facing Gunther.
Oh, I think Gunther's safe.
I said the same thing too, because Gunther's a Triple H guy. Nothing says more. If you want to put a stamp on your company, like you're in charge, you put one of your strongest players on top. And he purposely had Braun feed on all the other wrestlers to elevate his stock so he can get powerbombed or, you know, Emerald, fusioned by Gunther, I believe.
There's also that rumor, and it probably won't happen, but I love it so much. It's living rent-free in my head, that Gunther might face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So you've got to beat Braun to get to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm holding out for that.
Oh, yeah. And then the chops. I wonder if Brock's going to be like, none of that chopping crap out there.
And the main event was... It was extraordinary. Even though it only really went 10 minutes and 9 minutes of it was a build to John Cena's hot tag.
Did you notice that John Cena didn't do anything?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he took a slight squiffly bump, didn't he, outside when Roman attacked him?
He's in movie mode.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll put my name to something, I'll come out, but I can't do much. Which is smart, because if you know, you read the news, apparently it might be Logan Paul versus John Cena at WrestleMania. So it makes sense that you don't want to do so many bumping on a throwaway show in New Year's and then, Cena's got injured shoulder. His match is jeopardized. So, yeah, he wrestled smart, but at the same time, you didn't get everything you needed from Cena in that match.
Well, it's not like he can wrestle anyway. He came out, he had an entrance, he hit his...
No,
his
no,
toss off,
no.
Knuckles.
You see what he did there? Clip it. There's like a Twitter account that clips random stuff.
I get it. You know, he had a good US title run 7 years ago. And ever since then, we've all been like, yeah, okay, Cena's, he's not the worst thing in the world.
Yes.
But.
He's still clunky.
It was a long time.
He was clunky.
It was 10 years of me hating him. Like, not just slightly disliking someone, hating everything he stood for.
It wasn't his fault.
Hating his work rate, hating his promos, hating his character. And then Roman Reigns, like, I just transitioned it to Roman Reigns. I can't sit here and have Kevin Owens do a five knuckle shuffle with him while John Cena's like
he didn't. If you saw, Kevin Owens kept in character. He didn't jump the ropes. He didn't do a Mick Foley where he stood there like, all right, you do your thing.
Yeah.
He half hearted. He half hearted. So you got. He was in character.
It wasn't enough for me.
No.
If that was Stone Cold, he would have stunned John Cena and then won the match anyway. I know you can't do that, but you're sorry. Say your piece. I like John Cena.
Okay. I like rapper Cena. When he became Marine Cena, I was confused. I was like, I didn't sign up for that. It's kind of like getting catfished halfway through. Did not sign up for this character. I would have booed this character. Do you know what I mean? Halfway through, my rapper character, there was an... and the shoulder shimmy and the raps, they were gone. And he was doing this. I was like, hey, he looks like the guy support, but that's not my guy. But I stuck with him because I supported him in the beginning. And he's a clunky wrestler. It kind of reminds me of how Becky Lynch used to be before she came back post-NATO and became a super worker who can do stuff. He's not the most adequate of dancers. You can see that. It's kind of like Dancing with the Stars or Strictly. He's one of those people where...
He's the comedy one.
He's
the rugby player they brought in.
I was meant to be defending him. I'm doing a great job of defending him. I'm just being honest. He was never fluid. And when he played dead, he played dead. You know when people sell, Cena used to like collapse. But then it seemed like each year he got better. He learned on the job. And by the United States title reign, he was at the stage he should have been when he first got the title, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's cool. I respect that. And a lot of people have a lot of love for John Cena. And to be honest, I do too, because I love him in films and I have really enjoyed his work since 2015. But when he came out and the pop for him was insane. I said in my review, it's one of those pops that makes you remember, oh yeah, this is what being over is. Just on a completely different level to everyone else on the roster right now. And he comes out and he says into the camera, you know, I'm talking to you. Thank you for letting me do this for 20 years. And it's really nice and honest. And he comes across so well, but he isn't my guy. And when he got in the ring, and I did enjoy this match, really much so. But he's on the apron doing his goofy, like, come on, come on. And his head's flopping around. And I'm like, you know what? You actually feel really jarring with the modern era of WWE in the same way that Hulk Hogan did when he came back in the early noughties doing his like real America gimmick. WWE has actually moved on more than I had given it credit for since the Cena years. And I'm trying to enjoy this Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns story, which is very psychologically dense with very understated performances. And there's this floppy-haired goofball on the ring apron trying to hype up his hot tag, which did work for the audience.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually criticizing anything here. I think this was a home run. I didn't realize WWE had moved on from Cena so much.
You also have to remember, Cena was like Vince McMahon's dream wrestler. Mm. Every wrestler Vince tried to mold, either Hulk Hogan got a big ego saying, I don't need you, I'm bigger than you. And you know, Austin walks out of a creative thing. Cena never said no. So he did everything to the detriment of his career as well, because he did stuff, promos, which didn't make sense, nonsensical, changed characters midway. I told you, mm-hmm. I went for the rapper character. He became a Marine. Who'd do that? Cena would. So he's the ultimate team player.
Yeah.
That is his legacy with the WWE. And yeah, he's a cartoony character because that's what Vince used to like. You know, you know, the kids would love that. You know, like that's what he knows. So he doesn't know any better. He knows what Vince told him to do, which is to be bigger, be goofier, be funnier, sell t-shirts. Mm. So that's what he's trying to do, sell t-shirts and be goofy. So yeah, he doesn't fit in this new era of WWE, but cool.
For business though, as nostalgia does, apparently they did very well on the ticket sales and they probably could have shifted a lot more tickets for this SmackDown. And it'd be really interesting to see how it performs in the ratings. Not particularly a good night, the Friday before New Year's.
No.
But this is a hell of a show to put on. In the end, like you said, Cena didn't actually take any bumps. He got the hot tag right at the end, did his five-knuckle shuffle with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens got the win on Sammy. So Roman, there's a bit of fuel there to make Roman upset with Zayn.
Roman never loses. Even like six-man tags, when he should, he never loses. Yeah. You know, this is, I feel like, the first time he's lost in a tag match in ages.
Yeah, I can't remember the last one. Also, just as a note, Kevin Owens got a pretty nasty black eye bulge thing going on. Of course, he got that heat with Roman in War Games for clubbing him on the side of the ear.
Receipt, man.
So there it goes. Overall, I thought this was a terrific episode of SmackDown. I haven't watched all SmackDowns this year, I must admit. So maybe there's better episodes of SmackDown this year. The only one I can compare it to is the August Montreal episode of Raw, which is my favorite episode of WWE all year. The Gargano return, the Edge match. What about you?
This was a good match because it broke the monotony of doing six-pack challenges for the women, and then you got a Karrion Kross promo because he's currently feuding with Mysterio. Yeah. It felt different, and then Charlotte's back. Uncle Howdy was physically in the ring, so that's progressing. The match is finally happening at the Royal Rumble, pitch black match, which I think has been like announced.
Yeah,
yes. And also, Cena wins. The crowd went home happy. I was actually dreading the match because I was like, I love Roman, but it's bordering on NWO levels of always winning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like, can they get a win? And now the blemish, the little chink in the armor of Sami Zayn being in the bloodline begins. So I'm looking forward to the disintegration. I wouldn't be shocked if Sami Zayn's number 30 at the Royal Rumble. For the bloodline.
And that's when they turn on him.
Nah, he's going to make it close, then he's going to get eliminated by the eventual winner. And then all the Kevin Owens stuff, after that happens, then they turn on him. I think when they make him ooze, when they said, it's time to make him ooze.
There's loads of ways they could go. And that's what's so
exciting. He's laid. They might give him a lay. You don't know the significance of that lay. It might be the lay of, like, you know, it's like a bad luck lay and they could beat the crap out of him. Who knows?
Well, that's all we've got time for today on the SmackDown Review. And all we've got time for this year. It's New Year's Eve. So have a happy time tonight, everybody. And Luke and I, no, that's not right. Pete and Luke will be back on Tuesday with the Raw review. Me and Luke will be back on Thursday with the AEW Dynamite review. I miss talking Dynamite with that man.
You do?
Yeah. It's like a, it's not the same.
I'm sorry.
No, this is SmackDown. This is fine.
I know, but I know what you're trying to say. Is like,
I haven't seen Luke for 2 weeks.
I know, but I haven't seen, Tempest in 2 weeks as well. We both miss our significant others. We want to reunite with them.
But for now, thank you very much. If you could just go over and press the stop recording button, because
I'm going to strut. Because that's how I walk.
Happy New Year.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.